It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom
needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader, buy your car online. Really?
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
This is the Stinking Truth.
Honestly, this is going to be a treat for everybody out there because this is going to be a case where Mark talks about Mark. And
my favorite subject.
It's your favorite subject.
Yeah.
So, no, seriously, you did something really cool yesterday. You got invited out by Broncos coach Sean Payton. You've had a good relationship with him over the years.
Sure.
He said, come on out, hang out, we'll meet, we'll talk, we'll go out to practice, watch practice. So, what was it like?
Yeah, it was awesome. So, Sean and I have known each other forever, right? And when he was with the Saints, I consulted the run game for the Saints. And so we've been buddies for a long time. And so we were just kind of texting back and forth. I congratulated him on his new deal with the Broncos, new 5-year extension. And he said, hey, why don't you come out to practice Tuesday, our first official day of minicamp, and we'll just chop it up and do all these things. So show up to practice right after the radio show. And, you know, park and somebody grabs me and runs me up to Sean's office. And then we sat in his office for probably somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes, just talking about football, talking about like his new contract. I think one of the things that was really cool for me, because, you know, I got to play for two legendary coaches, one currently in the Hall of Fame, one should be in the Hall of Fame. Joe Gibbs, legendary coach, great man, unbelievable innovator when he was coaching. And then, of course, Mike Shanahan. And so we're talking about football and, you know, how football has evolved. And essentially using shifts and motions and personnel packages to undress a defense. And he goes, you're really looking for two things for the quarterback pre-snap. You're using motions to see man and zone indicators, and you're using shifts to man and zone indicators and the motions and the shifts to undress the defense to see who's blitzing, who's the potential guy coming, so we can redirect protection and we can protect ourselves in pass protection. And then, you know, we're talking about that and talking about all the different things that go on pre-snap and all that. And he goes, really, when you look at it, it was Mike Shanahan that created that. Was the first time in this league that we saw big guys line up outside the little guys. So we saw the little guys, the wide receivers running in the slots, tight ends and motion and running backs out to get those man zone indicators. If they just bumped and the corner gets out over a running back, you know 100% it's zone. If all of a sudden you motion the running back out and the linebacker chases him out there, you know you're getting some type of man-to-man. And you know, it's gotten more complex with defenses motioning out there and then playing zone or kicking out a defensive end and, you know, and basically showing some man tendencies but playing zone out of those things. So it becomes a little bit more complicated than it used to be. And that's one of the adjustments defenses have made, and they're much better at that. But it was really Mike Shanahan who created that. And then you look at Mike Shanahan getting bypassed for the Hall of Fame, and you look at all the things that are going on in the league right now, how he took that West Coast offense of Bill Walsh but combined it with that outside zone to create the boot keep stuff and the play action off of that stuff and using the motions and using the multiple personnel groupings and all those things. And you sit there and think the influence that he has had on the league, where about 60% of the teams in this league, that's what they run. The root of what they run in the National Football League is Mike Shanahan's stuff from our mid-90s Broncos teams. And that influenced for him to not be voted in the Hall of Fame. And this is why the Hall of Fame, this is why there are things about the Hall of Fame that suck, because like those, like a lot of the voters don't understand that. They don't they don't have that context. They don't have that knowledge. They don't understand that guy, the root of what he was doing, that is the trunk of all the things. Now there are different branches and tangential branches of that, but the trunk of what the majority of the NFL is running right now is you can tie it to Mike Shanahan directly.
When everything went down last year with Bill Belichick not getting into the Hall of Fame, and people were going on and on about how, oh, this shows what a messed up process and system it is. I'm like, you think you're just learning that now?
Right.
Any of us who've been following Mike Shanahan's trials and tribulations to get into the Hall of Fame understand that it's been a flawed, screwed up system for a while now.
Yeah, for Bill Belichick, it was punishment. To me, Bill Belichick was punishment. It was like, we're not going to vote you in the first ballot because of Spygate, because of, you know, whatever, Deflategate, because of the, like, it was the Hall of Fame voters, you know, basically punishing you.
Yeah.
For Mike Shanahan, it's lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's lack of understanding.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. It's just pure lack of understanding.
So back to your conversation with Sean Payton, and I can't help but think that one big decision, so one of the big decisions that came down this offseason has some tentacles to the whole Mike Shanahan thing. What does Shanahan have? You just talked about it. He has a coaching tree.
Yeah.
He has an undeniable coaching tree. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for head coaches, their legacy, to want to have a coaching tree. Sean Payton doesn't really have a coaching tree yet. And I wonder how much of the decision to turn over play calling this year to Davis Webb is with the idea that, hey, not only can this guy help me win this year with my young quarterback with Bo Nix, but if he goes on and has success, that's part of my tree.
Yeah.
Maybe the start of my tree.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. When it comes to offensive coordinators, just because you become an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator for that matter, and just because you get that opportunity to call plays and maybe you're really good at it, does not necessarily make that transition to head coach successful. And we've seen that throughout the history of this league, that there's a lot of great coordinators that hit their Peter principle at being a coordinator. You know, they rise to the level of their incompetence when they take the next level for whatever the reason is. They're not as good with people, right? They're not as good as at delegating authority. They're not as good at coaching the coaches. They're not like they're just not as good at that. And so they rise to be great coordinators, but they're not necessarily great head coaches. So,
but at least they get the shot.
But they get the shot. I think with Davis Webb, couple of things that Sean said to me. He goes, one, I love him. He's a great young coach, great young innovator, great young coach. And let's just be honest right now. Like, we've seen it with guys, Garrett Bowles. We've seen guys, oh, the guy's going to be an evil genius, and the guy's going to, you know, and I saw this with Sean Mannion in Philadelphia. Oh, my God, the guy is just, he's such a, you know, he's got all this evil genius. He's like, you know, next level. He's like, one, genius and football are mutually exclusive events. Remember that. you're not coaching in the National Football League or playing in the National Football League if you're a genius. You're just not, right? It's a game developed by PE majors that is played by PE majors, okay? So let's, you know, yeah, I'm going to offend a lot of people. We're a bunch of public educated kids, right? I mean, so just stop right there. None of us are rocket scientists. So, and the whole evil genius thing is totally overblown. But I think Sean understands how good he is with people, how good he is conceptually, how good he is at creating and stacking plays. And to Sean's credit, he was like, and Sean can be as arrogant. I mean, you don't rise to a level of being an NFL head coach or being a player if you're not extremely confident in what you're able to do. And Sean was incredibly forthright in saying, hey, man, as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit more conservative. And, you know, and I think that he gives us a better opportunity to maybe get the play in a little bit earlier, to maybe undress the defense a little quicker, to maybe give the quarterback a little bit more information pre-snap that maybe I'm not getting. I'll still be totally involved in, you know, looking at third downs and looking at red zone and saying, I love this, this, and this. I do not like this against this defense. I'll still be game planning and stuff. I think the big difference is, talking to Sean, is during the week of preparation, not a lot will change. But during the course of a game, I can be a little bit more involved with the defense. I can be a little bit more involved with the quarterback, as opposed to being the head coach and thinking about what I'm going to call next and what I want to do in the next drive. I can sit there and say, hey, man, did you think about this? Or did you look at this pre-snap? Be a little bit more engaged game day with the entirety of the football team.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.